turn now in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Our reading this morning will begin with verse 30, and it will go to the end of the chapter. John, chapter 5, beginning with verse 30. I'll read the 30th verse and the even numbered, and Pastor Brian will lead you in the reading of the odd numbered, shall we stand, as we read God's Word. Jesus is speaking, and he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true.
There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true.
Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth.
But I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might believe, that you might be saved.
He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light.
But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me that the Father has sent me.
And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape.
And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not.
Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me.
And you will not come to me that you might have life.
I receive not honor from men,
but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you.
I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive.
How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only?
Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust.
For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me.
But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?
Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll help us this day, that we might search the scriptures. And that as we search the scriptures, we'll come to that realization that they are testifying of you. And so, Lord, as we search, may we find you, as you have revealed yourself in and through the scriptures. Bless, now we pray, the study of your word this morning as we have gathered in your name. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we've come to Revelation chapter 19, which means we are getting close to the end of the book. Couple of more weeks, and we'll be, actually about 3 weeks, we'll be through with the book of Revelation, ready to start back in Genesis. And so, they used to have some kind of a celebration when they finished the reading of the Torah, and we probably should, have some kind of a celebration when we finish the Bible, say, whoa, we've gone through it. Once again, this morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 10th verse of Revelation chapter 19, where we read, John is saying, I fell at his feet to worship, that is, the angel that was revealing these things to John. And he said to me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brothers, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. As we read in our scripture reading this morning, Jesus said to the Jews, "Search the scriptures. In them you think that you have life, but they are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life." In Hebrews 10:7, it quotes Jesus as saying, "Then said I come. The volume of the book is written of me, to do thy will, O God." The history recorded in the Old Testament is in reality his story. He came in the volume of the book, it is written of him. The book of Revelation is his story in advance. It tells us of the glorious kingdom over which Christ shall reign and rule. It tells us of the glory of his dwelling and ruling over the earth. Reveals him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But here we read the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, prophecy is all about Jesus Christ. The central and greatest event in the history of the world, the event that eclipses all other events that have ever transpired, the event that has greater impact upon history than any other event, is the coming of Jesus into the world when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When you refer to the date and you write 2009, you are admitting that Jesus came 2009 years ago to give himself as the Savior of man's sin. Matthew, as he was writing about the birth of Jesus, prior to his birth, when Mary was pregnant and Joseph, the fellow she was engaged to, was reluctant to take her as his bride, not really knowing what to do, we read that the angel came to Joseph and said to him, "Don't fear about taking Mary as your wife, for she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Matthew tells us that all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. That great day in the history of the world when God came to dwell with us. But this prophecy of Isaiah, of the virgin conceiving and bearing a son, is only one of the more than 300 predictions that were made concerning Jesus that he fulfilled in his first coming. Predictions of his birth, of his life, of his death, and of his resurrection were given by the prophets of God in the Old Testament. And this morning, I'd like you to, with me, just look at just one book of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at a partial listing of the prophecies concerning Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 speaks of the future reign of Christ over the whole world at his second coming. Isaiah says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall say, Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall there be war any more." We recognize this to be a prophecy, not yet fulfilled, but a prophecy of the second coming of Jesus, as is the prophecy in chapter 9, verse 2, where the prophet speaks now of the joyful reign over the world. He said, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, unto them has the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Again, a prophecy that will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again. In Isaiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, it speaks of his glorious reign over the earth as the descendant of David. Isaiah said, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteous shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the little goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together with the lion, and it shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign unto the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Again, a prophecy of the second coming of Jesus. But the volume of the book, Jesus said, is written of me. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, "He shall bring forth true justice. It said, a bruised reed shall he not break. The smoking flax he will not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has established judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, he will be a light to the Gentiles. At first he will be despised and abhorred, but later worshipped. And he said, is it a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give to thee a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes shall also worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. Here's sort of a combination. It's a combination of his first coming when he was despised and abhorred by the people, but it also ties together the glorious future when he establishes his throne. Isaiah 50, verse 5. Now we are dealing with his first coming. He will suffer shame and reproach. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. Neither did I turn back. I gave my back to the smiters. We read about the scourging. And my cheeks to them that pulled out the hair. And I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. And we read about this in the crucifixion of Jesus. Isaiah 52:13, again, a prophecy that was fulfilled in his first coming. His face would be so badly beaten that you could not recognize him as a human being. Behold, Isaiah said, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Many were astonished at him, for his face was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which has not been told them they shall see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. And then Isaiah 53, he would be despised, rejected, and put to death. There in 53, Isaiah said, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own way, and God laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression, God said, of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And when you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. He will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. And by knowing him, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he has poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Prophecies, as Jesus said, you do search the scriptures because you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. And here Isaiah so aptly describes the rejection of Jesus, his death for the transgression of God's people. Isaiah 61:1. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18, we find that Jesus, after he was baptized and tempted, returned to his hometown of Nazareth, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they handed him the scriptures to read. And he opened the scroll of Isaiah to where it declared in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We read that he then closed the scroll, said to the people, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your eyes. Interesting, he didn't go on, because this portion speaks of his first coming. This day, this scripture has been fulfilled. Had he gone on reading, he would have read of the passage that refers to his second coming, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the scroll and said, this day, this pertained to his first coming. The rest of the passage refers to the second coming, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for their ashes, the oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, we just took the book of Isaiah, and we only took a partial listing of the prophecies that related to Jesus Christ's first and second coming. We could turn to any of the books of the Old Testament, and we could read from them the prophecies that relate to Jesus Christ. For as he said, the volume of the book was written of me. And if you cannot find Jesus as you read the Bible, Old Testament, then you are not reading it carefully. You may object and say, well, those prophecies are pretty vague. They could probably be applied to almost anyone. Well, another prophet, Micah, said he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, that's pretty specific. If you would come up to me today, wide-eyed, and say, Chuck, I want you to know I'm the Messiah. I said, well, where were you born? Santa Ana? Get out of here. You are disqualified. It says that his hands and his feet would be pierced. It said that he would make his entry into Jerusalem, presenting himself as he rode on a donkey. The king is coming riding on a donkey. It said he would be numbered with the transgressors in his death, crucified between two thieves. It tells us that they would part his garments among them, but they would cast lots for his vesture. And we read in the Gospels that's exactly what happened. It said that he would be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. The silver would then be used to buy a potter's field. It was prophesied that he would come 483 years after the commandment would go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That commandment was given by Artaxerxes in 445 BC. 483 years later, the Messiah would come. And that's exactly when Jesus came and presented himself to the nation as their Messiah, riding on a donkey, coming into Jerusalem. As Jesus said, you do search the scriptures because in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of me. You might try to pass that off as amazing coincidences, but you'll have a difficult time when you stand before God at the great white throne judgment and explain why you stubbornly resisted and ignored all of the indisputable evidence and you rejected Jesus as the Lord of your life. It's interesting to me that Jesus said to the Jews, you search the scriptures. In them you think you have life, but they testify of me, and you won't come to me that you might have life. We noticed that in Isaiah, there were seemingly contradictory prophecies concerning the Messiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That we know in the first coming. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting. That's the second coming. And naturally, as the Jews read their scriptures and read the prophecies of their Messiah, they loved the prophecies that spoke of his ruling and reigning. They loved the prophecies that spoke of his really being on the throne and ordering it and establishing it in righteousness and in judgment. They loved the prophecies that spoke of a world of peace as he reigns over the earth. But those prophecies despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, don't like that. Doesn't sound good. Abhorred. No, I don't like that. And so what they did was because they couldn't reconcile the differences of being the king ruling and reigning and being despised and rejected, they took those prophecies that dealt with his first coming, being despised, rejected, put to death, and so forth. They spiritualized those. They made them an allegory. They say, well, that refers to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel despised, rejected, and you know, and all. That is the nation Israel. And they only held on to the reigning, glorious Messiah. And thus they rejected Jesus. They did exactly what the prophecy said they would. Despised and rejected. And they were looking for the Messiah to come and to reign and to establish God's kingdom over the earth. The problem was they didn't understand the two advents of the Messiah. That he would come first to give his life as a ransom for man's sin and then come again to establish God's kingdom upon the earth and rule and reign in righteousness. It's imperative that we understand that Jesus is coming again. It is necessary in order to fulfill the more than 300 predictions that refer to the second coming of Jesus. Even as there were 300 that referred to the first, so that many again to refer to the second coming of Jesus. Now, as we look at our world today, and we look at the prophecies of his second coming, it is quite obvious that we are getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom upon the earth. It won't be long until our prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," will be fulfilled. Jesus said there would be distress of nations with no way out. Look at our world today. Look at the problems that we are facing. Look at our own nation today. Look at our own state today. The problems. What is the answer to the fiscal problems of California? How are we going to solve the problems? Of course, our legislator only sees one answer, and that's raise their taxes. I don't know how they can be so blind. It seems to me it would be easier to reduce the taxes than to raise them. But you don't find any real... you feel the same thing I feel. But what goes for us locally goes for us, of course, not just the state, but the cities. I mean, you know, every city is fighting with the budget. But then nationally, trillions of dollars being expended, and we don't have that kind of income coming in. Distress of nations with no answers. Knowledge will be increased, we are told, in the last days. You want to dispute that one? The amassed knowledge of man from the time of Adam to 1960, all of the amassed knowledge of man, doubled in the years between 1960 and 1970. And it seems to double about every 10 years ever since. Knowledge increased. Men would be going to and fro throughout the entire earth, traveling all over the world. We're heading out to Israel in March, should the Lord tarry, February. I mean, imagine. This is my 39th trip, and amazing, you know. I'm going to New Jersey and Philadelphia this week, where I'll be speaking at a couple of churches there, and traveling all over. And here it is, prophesied as something of the last days. Weapons of mass destruction that could threaten the existence of man upon this planet Earth. Iran being aided by Russia, trying to destroy the nation of Israel. And I could go on and on, but time does not permit. Let us just say, as Paul said to the Romans, knowing the time, high time to awake out of your sleep, for now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. As Jesus said at the end of the book of Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly." And John responded, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Shall we pray? Father, we are so grateful that we have such a sure guide for the future. That knowing the time, high time that we wake up and realize that it is almost over. So that we will devote our life to things that are eternal, rather than things that are temporal and passing away. Speak to our hearts today, Lord, as we present our bodies to you to be used in these last days as you see fit. Use us, Lord, as you desire, to bring your love and your truth to a dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to pray with you and for you today. Maybe you are not certain that you're ready to meet the Lord. Good time to make sure, because he's coming soon. Maybe you have financial problems, marital problems, maybe physical problems. Our Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. These men are down here to minister to you and to pray for you as we're dismissed. If you desire prayer, just come on forward and they'll be waiting for you and happy to pray with you. May the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you, fill you with his love, and guide you by his Spirit. And may this be a wonderful week of fellowship with him.